Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. We'll go ahead and start our statement of faith and get into this meeting so we can get some stuff done. All right, let me ask the ladies to cover their head. Any men listening, uncover your head. Let me go to the studio on Blog Talk. Okay. And let us start our statement of faith. Now, ladies, to cover their heads. Any men, uncover your heads. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I'm a child of Yah. I believe I'm a new covenant child according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3 verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give Yah our Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. We just thank you, Father, and we glorify you, and we lift you up, and we magnify you, O Yah Elohim. And we extol thee, O Yah, we extol thee. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah to you, O Yah Elohim. Father, we just love you on today, Father. And we thank you even right now for all that you're going to do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Yah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen.
Amen.
The book of Psalms 133. Psalms 133, verses 1 through 3. A song of degree of David. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descendeth upon the mountains of Zion. For there Yah commanded the blessing, even life, forevermore. May the Most High blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. All right. We are going to go ahead and start with, I make a motion that we bring this meeting to order. Do I have a second?
I second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. This meeting is officially in order, and we will have the reading of the minutes by Sister Mary. And you can either read them from the screen or you can read them from your own copy. That's up to you, Mother.
I can read them from the
screen. Okay.
Our last meeting was February 23rd, 2023. We started at 7 p.m. and ended at 10 p.m. The attendance of the meeting was Brother Miles, Sister Lorraine, Sister Denise, and Sister Claire. I got to roll it down, Brother Miles.
Go ahead.
Discussion of the meeting. Questions about YFCC. Brother Yanni, that's what I thought his statement said.
Yeah.
He called in and asked about the operation of YFCC cooperatives. Brother Miles answered all his questions. Brother Miles is looking forward to starting construction on the land at the end of the year. Michael Green. The banner and pole for the farmer's market. Brother Miles, we got a new banner. I didn't put that in there. Banner and pole for the farmer's market. Brother Miles has jars and labels that he is designing. Brother Miles has started to dehydration of some of the vegetables, sunflowers, and the wellness mix. Who's over my friend?
I ain't touching nothing. No. I'm not touching anything. That's probably Sister Lorraine.
That's Sister Lorraine.
Thank you.
He started the hydration of some of the vegetables, sunflower seeds, and the wellness mix are going to be a separate product, the bylaws. Section 11.14A to G. Contract termination policy. Changes was made in section 11.14A1, 2, and 3. We voted on it, all agreed, adopted as written. Section 11.14 was manified. The new section was adopted.
Yeah.
I was told to put the B in there. I didn't see the B. Oh, I do. It was modified.
Yeah, modified.
Mm-hmm. A new section was adopted. Section 11.23A1, 2, and 3. This is called a contract suspension. This consists of the death of a family member, severe illness of a member or a family member. If the member has to leave to take care for a family member or for business or health. Number 3, business or governmental obligation. Suspension is 90 days to 1 year max. It's a fee of 15% of monthly income if a member would like to keep the residence. We voted on that. All agreed, adopted as written. 11.14C, reviewed at the next meeting. That's it, Element.
Okay. Anybody remember anything else that was discussed during that meeting that needs to be added to these minutes?
Sounds complete to me.
Okay. All right, I'm going to do a short update on the microgreens and that was a minute. Okay. So the microgreen chart is on your screen. Oh, wait a minute. Let me start over here. I make a motion that we adopt the minutes as written and read. Do I have a second?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. Meetings are adopted as written and read. Okay. Close that on my screen. Bring up the bylaws. Okay. And move this over here. All right. So I did start the dehydration on the microgreens, and I have like two wellness mixes that I'm playing around with. They are very concentrated, and they're very concentrated, and so I've been playing around with them, like putting them in a smoothie, putting them on like a baked potato, just mixing it in with like the sour cream or whatever on that, and in the baked potato you can't even taste it, but in the smoothie you can kind of taste them, But, you know, still take, mine still, for me, tastes mainly like apple juice. That's what I mix it with. So, again, the benefit of these are that they will last up to 6 months, if not longer. They still maintain their, you know, the same nutrient value. So this is a chart that I'm going to actually be taking out to the farmer's market. I have it in a clear plastic pan. And what it is this is the microgreen nutrient so that people can see it. I don't really have to talk to it all the time. But different microgreens, like we're growing, right now we're growing green broccoli and broccoli sprouts, which are these two in here. So here and here. We're growing red cabbage, fennel Greek, and then radish, pea sprouts, and sunflower. That's what I'm growing right now, those seven that we're growing. If you look across that chart, then you can see, like, as I said before, sunflower is like a perfect food right mm-hmm. here. It has vitamin A, B, C, D, and E, and K. And it has calcium, iron, phosphorus, potassium, magnesium, sulfur, sodium, manganese, and copper, and zinc, and folic acid. So this one has, sunflower has, what, everything in it. Okay, so it's a complete food, plus it has 24 grams of, 24% of the daily allowance of protein for a diet that's, you know, a 2,000 calorie diet. And so when you're eating, you're supposed to eat 10 times the amount of calories for the weight that you want to have. So if you're trying to stay at 120 pounds, then your calorie intake should be 1,200 calories a day. And that'll keep you at 120. So that's what that's based upon. So this is based upon somebody 200 pounds. It'll give them 25%. But if, you know, if they're only trying to be 100 pounds, then it'll give them, what, 24%. It'll give them 48% of the proteins that they need. Does that make sense to everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you know, there's a lot of people out here who are suffering from malnutrition, cancer, who just not getting the required, you know, if you take vitamins, anybody take vitamin supplements?
No, I don't.
You're good, because vitamin supplements, those pills just go in and come right back out. The body won't break them down. So, you know, the porta potties that they have, they're mainly filled with vitamin pills when they empty them out. So, you know, it's something that, that, you know, they're not telling people, but, you know, it's been known for a long time that vitamin supplements, your body really don't work with them because it can't break them down. With the microgreens, though, you're going to get all these vitamins plus all the minerals and plus the folic acid and the protein because it's in a form that the body can absorb it and break it down. So you don't have to take, you don't have to take vitamin supplements except for sunflower is one of the only ones that produces what, vitamin D? And we usually get vitamin D from the sun or milk, sunlight. So vitamin, but sunflowers have vitamin D in them. So sunflower is one of the ones that I wanted to try by itself. See how much I have to produce a jar. I got like three 4-ounce jars. So I think I would need another 4 ounces to get a pound. And I'm not sure if I'm going to sell these in the ounces or by the pound. I have to look online and see what is the common one that people are selling. I wanted to come up with a name for these, and that's still what is tripping me up. I don't know whether to call them, you know, they got people out there already call them super greens and all this kind of stuff, and I was just looking for something different. And I just may just name them, you know, what they are. Right now I'm doing the wellness mix, so maybe I'll just, you know, I'll have to make a label if I have that, if I can pull it up on my screen. Let me share my screen. Sharing. Let me do a window instead. All right, if you bring up screen sharing now, then you should be able to see my screen. It should be like on Google.
Yep.
Okay. We let Sister Mary and Sister Denise catch up.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
All right, amen. All right, so some of the products that are already out there. And so I think this, I don't know what the amount is on this one. I know how much they're charging, but finding out just how much they actually have in the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Let me put my glasses on. And I don't see it on their labels. Oh, there it is. Looks like 16 ounces. I can bring this one up. No, they're only doing 10 ounces in this one.
Mm-hmm.
So not quite a pound. Let's go back. Looks like 10.5 ounces in this one, too. These look like a little bit bigger jars, though. I can't see on this jar how much they have quantity, but it looks like 10.5 ounces has been pretty common. It was only, what, 8.5 ounces? Okay.
Yeah.
So 8.5 ounces at $32. Really, their sale price was, what, $47? But they saved, you know, took off $15. So for, in this case, for, what, 8 ounces?
Mm-hmm.
So that's like $4, something like that, somewhere in there an ounce. Powdered. And then, hold on just a second. Yeah, I think I'm going to either need to change. We go in the right room, or I'm going to have to change what I'm sending out in the email. Because we're going into the regular meeting room and not the private one. But what I'm sending out the message, it's got the, it actually has the private room on there. Okay. So let's see.
So we need to come out of this room and go into the private room?
No, I instructed them to come into this. All right, so as we can see, they got, what, a lot of different names? And so I'm trying to think of, you know, that it'll still be by Yes Run Farms, but, and yeah, definitely going to be unsweetened because I'm, you know, I'm not adding anything to these. And so it's going to be organic, unsweetened, because I think once you start adding stuff to it, then it may need to be approved by USDA or someone. So this labeling on the back, you know, and these labels is what I'm trying to come up with, you know, the description, how to use it and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm at. You know, I did talk to the lady concerning there's a market on Thursdays, but it's like 30 miles away. And they only run for 3 hours rather than four. So I'm trying to really think if it's worth going out there. I might go to one. Huh?
Said 30 miles.
Yeah, about 33 miles away. The ones that I go to now, they're only about 5 or 6 miles away. So 30 miles by freeway, I mean, it'd take about 30 minutes to get there. But when it comes to, you know, accounting and saying, is it worth it to go out there? Their fees are only 5% of whatever you sell. So if you don't, you know, if you don't sell anything, then you don't pay anything. But, you know, in order for them to make money, you have to, for them to make $20, I would have to sell, what, $100 worth? I'd have to sell more than that. 5% of 100 is what, $5? So, you know, so the fees aren't extravagant. It's just traveling all that far and setting up and then only for 3 hours and then breaking down and, you know, having to come back. See, I'll make up my mind between now and Monday or Tuesday whether I'm going to actually go there for theirs, because it's only going to be running up and through April, and most of these markets are ending in April. I think if I wanted to, that is going to run in the summertime. So I may have to find somewhere else. I might go to Lowe's or, you know, anybody ever go to Lowe's or Home Depot and see somebody selling like hot dogs on the outside?
Yeah.
Yes, I might go and see if I can't set up and sell microgreens, or go to one of the gyms, the health spas or something like that, see if I can't set up in the parking lot to sell, so I can sell through the summer. It's going to be super hot, but I don't actually want to do anything else. So we'll see. All right. So that's where we're at, working on the labeling, and I'm just looking at these different ones. Ours is going to be based upon the 5 microgreens that I was showing you guys that we had up. So let me stop sharing. So the 5 that we're selling, the broccoli sprouts, the red cabbage, fenugreek, the pea shoot, the radish, and the sunflower shoot, that mixture, and trying to make sure that I catch the sunflowers before they grow the second leaf. So the second leaf is what makes them bitter. So if you catch it before, if you catch them before that second leaf comes on, then they really just taste like sunflower seed with no salt. So it's just like a sunflower, like the seed itself, and the plant and the leaves are kind of crunchy. They have the same texture as the seed, as the sunflower seed. So I think I got everything right now but sunflowers because they got too old. So I just went ahead and dehydrated them, and the new crop hasn't stood up yet. So in this wellness mix that I'm putting together, I have everything but sunflower in it. And somebody, you know, like there's a guy that comes every market now, and he already pre-ordered like four. Then the delivery, and then I'm actually looking to do, if people come back like they've been coming back, I'm actually looking to do about 300 tomorrow, hopefully, in sales, which would be a good day. I was talking to the lady, as I said, she already had somebody selling microgreens on the Sunday market, and they usually don't like to let, you know, more than one vendor come in. Because then we're just competing. Yeah, with the same kind of product. But, you know, people who told me to go out there are saying she didn't have anybody selling microgreens. So I'm not sure if she just does not want to let me into that market. Or, you know, I think what I'll do, I will go out there Sunday and just walk around and see if she actually has anybody selling microgreens. And then if she doesn't, then I probably don't want to deal with her anyway because she's being dishonest.
Right.
Okay.
But if she does have it, then, you know, then I'll look at doing her Thursday market a little bit ways away. But she was saying that, you know, the people who were selling microgreens there, they weren't doing too well. That's what she told me, that they weren't doing too well out there. You know, they were having a hard time breaking $100. I don't know if that's because of the way that they're selling. You know, I've had on and off markets, but you know, the average now is over 100 in sales for that. So
maybe it's the location she's at too.
That's possible, but. From what I'm told, her markets are bigger and more and busier than the ones that I've been at.
Okay.
So, and you know, this is what other vendors are telling me. You know, I will go out there. I'll make it a point to go out Sunday, get the address to it, go out and walk around the market and see what I can see. And then if they do have somebody selling microgreens, then I'll, you know, I'll go up and talk to them. I won't necessarily tell them I'm selling, but I'll, you know, compare their prices and things like that.
All right.
Get the price list and that kind of stuff. And I'll look at, you know, and see how they're trying to sell. Because I'm actively involved with the people. They walk by, you know, I'll just say hi. You know, I sort of ask them, hey, are you familiar with microgreens? And they'll usually say, huh? I'll say, are you familiar with microgreens? You know what they're about? And then I'll give them I try to do it in 2 minutes or less because most people don't want to stand around any longer than that. So I give it to them, you know, quick, down, and dirty. They're nutrient, you know, they're more nutrient dense. They are, if you have any type of health problems, I mentioned, you know, the most common health problems like inflammation, sugar, diabetes, high blood pressure, cholesterol. And I have had people come up and ask me, hey, are they good for cancer and things like that? Then I will go into that still. But I usually only try to keep them there for 2 minutes, and if I can't sell them in 2 minutes, more likely they're not going to buy.
Right. Okay.
So, and each time that I've done markets, I've just perfected that presentation. So that I can give them, you know, what I need to give them real quick, quick education. And usually, if they're there 2 minutes, they'll be there 15 minutes because they'll start asking questions, this, that, and the other. And so I will answer their questions. And typically what I found is once I started taking the live plants out there and harvesting there, the live plants themselves attract people, and then them to see me harvest live, except for the wellness mix. You know, the wellness mix I harvest before I go. But then, you know, if they want radishes or they want sunflower, I won't have sunflower tomorrow, but they want radishes or broccoli or cabbage, then I will harvest that right there. And so that, you know, and the spiel is, hey, you can't get any fresher than this. Because, you know, it's being harvested right in front of them. And then a lot of them see that I don't use dirt, and that sort of amazes them. I have found that taking the plants out there and harvesting live generates more attention. I still do the same spiel. Hey, are you, you know, the people walking by, hi, good morning, how you doing? Are you familiar with microgreens? But a lot of the times I don't even have to do that. They just see the microgreens and start coming over. So that I found that approach works better for me as far as attracting people. So we'll see tomorrow. I've finished submitting all the paperwork for taking SNAP and EBT. Inside of the packet that they sent me was a permit to, you know, to offer SNAP. And so had to read the book, and then I needed to send them a copy of my permit. So they should be processing that now, and maybe I will have the machine by, I don't know, maybe next week. But also, since I have to call the lady back at USDA, because I think they also authorized me to use SNAP or offer SNAP on the website. So, and then I have to see what I need to do for that. I don't know, and I need to, I probably need to ask that question of the people that I have that I chose to do the process in the government, because it's in a terminal. But I would really rather have it, if I could run it through a gateway online that's authorized for SNAP. That way those people can, I don't have to do any type of special processing. But we'll see. I need to actually ask that question. I think, I probably need to send it out tonight before I forget about it. All right, so that's the update. They do have displays that have to be up even at the market. So I had to order some clear plastic, clear plastic holders. But I don't want them, you know, because the wind blows and they'll blow down and that kind of stuff. So what I'm going to do is I bought some hangers, and I'm going to just drill a couple of holes in them, so I can just hang them up from hang them up on, like, on one of the supports for the tent, whatever they call that thing, the canopy, so that they're displayed. That's what I'm looking at right now. I ordered those today, and they should be here tomorrow, but they won't be here, you know, in time for tomorrow's market. So that being said, that's the update on that on the land. I don't have an update yet. Hopefully I'll get one within the next week or so. Then, you know, if it's not moving the way that I think it ought to be moving, then we'll proceed with, you know, again, finding funding somewhere else and searching that out. All right. Any questions?
No.
Okay. All right, so let's go ahead and get into the bylaws. And what section are we supposed to be starting in, Sister Mary?
11.14C.
On screen sharing is up. Can you tell me what's on your screen? Should be the bylaws.
No, I have a blank
screen.
Got a blank screen?
A blank screen.
It's black.
Just black.
Yep.
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 Let me stop sharing. Try that again. Out of bylaws now. Okay, did the bylaws come up this time? Can I be heard? Can I be heard? Did everybody get kicked out?
Yeah,
no,
it just came
me?
Back in. But it came back up.
Okay, and do you guys see in screen sharing, go into screen sharing and see if you see the bylaws?
I can see
them
now.
Yes.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yes, they are.
Yep.
Okay. All right, so Sister Mary, you said 11 dot what?
11.14C.
Okay. And this section is contract termination.
Right.
And then C, I'll just read it and then we will go from there. If the pod approves a contract termination agreement between the pod, we know that's not going to be the member services. Yeah, YFCC member services, services coordinator. So, copy.
I see it now.
Yeah, I scrolled down from it. This in here, and then we will come back and read it. Because the pod is not going to approve these unless we, you know, unless we get that big. Made or applicable. Okay. If the member services coordinator approves the contract termination agreement between YFCC and a member, and none of the above circumstances apply, the coordinating committee will look at the circumstances between the member and member services coordinator, any conflicts or accusations of lack of contract fulfillment, and at the financial situation of the member services coordinator. That might have to remain pod, but Okay. Between the member and the member service coordinator, any conflicts or accusations of lack of contract fulfillment and at the financial situation of the pod, because I just think, look, I'm going to put that back and then we may change this to something else. Coordinating committee has the authority to waive member service coordinator approval of voluntary contract termination only after an attempt by the member, only after an attempt by the member during a member services coordinator meeting. To gain approval, this attempt must be documented and involve either a lack of member service coordinator action or a member service coordinator vote against the release. So let's read this again. If the member services coordinator approves a contract termination agreement between YFCC and a member, and none of the above circumstances apply. Let's read the above circumstances that we had before. Refresh those. Okay, death of a close relative, serious illness, a business or governmental obligation, when any party can be documented as not fulfilling its obligation. If a member services coordinator approves a contract termination agreement between YFCC and the member, and none of the above circumstances apply. Anybody think of any circumstances outside of these five here? Let me shrink that down a little bit.
No.
Evidently, they came up against something that they hadn't covered here, or they've got this in here just in case, because... And if none of the above circumstances apply, the coordinating committee will look at the circumstances between the member and the member service coordinator. Any conflict or accusations of lack of contract fulfillment and at the financial situation of the pod. Coordinating committee has the authority to waive member services coordinator approval a voluntary contract termination only after an attempt by the member during a pod meeting to gain approval. Okay, a lot. Coordinating committee has the authority to waive member coordinator approval of voluntary contract termination only after an attempt by the member during a pod meeting to gain approval. This attempt must be documented and involve either a lack of member service coordinator action or a member service coordinator vote against the release. Okay, so a mouthful. Let me read it one more time. If the member services coordinator approves a contract termination agreement between YFCC and the member, and none of the above circumstances apply, the coordinating committee will look at the circumstances between the member and the member service coordinator. Five, any conflict or accusations of lack of contract fulfillment and at the financial situation of the pod. Okay. I don't know what that would feed into. Coordinating committee has to, let's do this. The coordinating committee has the authority to waive member service coordinator approval of voluntary contract termination only after an attempt by the member during a pod meeting to gain approval. This attempt must be documented and involve either a lack of member services coordinator action or a member services coordinator vote against the release. Does anybody have a problem understanding what that's saying?
Yeah, a little bit. That's a lot.
Okay. I'm trying to get the gist of this. The whole gist is if there is an uncovered circumstance.
Okay.
None, one of the five up top doesn't apply. The coordinating committee will look at the circumstances between the member and the pod. Because I don't see this being an issue between the member services coordinator and the member. That's why I put pod back in there, you know, because this is one of those situations where maybe there's a grievance and the people are complaining or the members complaining.
Right.
One or the other is complaining. And so it says any conflict or accusations of lack of contract fulfillment. So that could be, you know, that could be between the member and YFCC. Contract fulfillment, meaning that I couldn't see I couldn't see this only being one member affected if it's between, you know, if it's between the member and YFCC. If we're not fulfilling something, then we wouldn't be fulfilling it for everybody.
Right.
Not just one person. Not unless they came in with some special type of need. Some special need that we agreed that we were going to support,
right.
And then we didn't do what we said we were going to do.
Like if they needed like a handicap ramp or something.
Yeah, we'd already said that we were just going to
automatically
build those decks with that ramp in it already.
Right.
Because that way then we don't have to go back and do it. It's just be part of the standard build. So I'm thinking that there might be some other type of special need, whether it was some type of mental issue or physical disability or something. That's the only thing I can think of. And they have a special requirement that we said that we would support.
Is now in the conference.
But then, oh, how you doing?
How you doing,
Sister Claire? Sister Claire.
Hi, family. I'm well. Thank you.
All right. So I'm going to turn down the volume on yours to cause an echo missing. Or if you can mute yourself. And then we won't get the echo. And then you can unmute yourself when you want to say something. Right, testing 1, 2.
Testing 1, 2.
All right. I'll mute you from this. Okay. So there's any conflict or accusations of lack of contract fulfillment and at the financial situation of the pod. I don't know how that would play into this. Set out. Anybody have any objections to deleting that?
I don't
know.
Okay. The coordinating committee has the authority to waive member services coordinator approval of voluntary contract termination only after an attempt by the member during a pod meeting to gain approval. So it sounds like the member services coordinator doesn't want to approve it.
Right.
And the member has asked for a pod meeting to have the contract terminated. the board can overwrite the member services coordinator? Okay. This attempt must be documented and involve either a lack of member services coordinator action, in other words, they didn't do what they said they were going to do, the member services coordinator, or they haven't been communicating or something, or a member services coordinator vote against the release. That is probably we're going to change this from member service coordinator to coordinating committee. Okay, so now I'm going to read it again. If the member services coordinator approves a contract termination agreement between YFCC and a member, and none of the above circumstances apply, this is an extenuating circumstance, the coordinating committee will look at the circumstances between the member and the pod, any conflicts or accusations of lack of contract fulfillment. So they got to look at and see why they want to terminate. This sounds like this is a member initiated action. Or, it sounds like it's member initiated. The coordinating committee has the authority to waive the member services coordinator approval of voluntary contract termination only after an attempt by the member during a pod meeting to gain approval. So I'm going to act on the member's behalf for this, for explanation. I come and say I want to terminate my contract because my dog died. And I just don't want to be here anymore. I can't live without my dog. Just think. That's not one of the exceptions that we have, because the exceptions are in B 1-5.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing about no dog. We got for relatives. We got for, you know, if the member is sick, if they got, you know, if they're called to, you know, active duty or something like that, or there's, you know, a conflict, an unresolved conflict within the pod. So, then the coordinating committee has the authority to waive the member service coordinator approval of voluntary contract termination only after an attempt by the member during a pod meeting to gain approval. So I'd say during a pod meeting, I want to bring a matter to the vote of the pod or to, you know, we may have to look at this again, but I want to move out because I, you know, my dog died and I don't want to stay here no more. And I'm being silly, but it's not one of the approved actions. I can't think of a valid, you know, action.
Right, because it's not in the policy.
Right. So then I would have to ask for the member services officer to approve it at one of the pod meetings.
Uh-huh.
And this attempt must be what, documented?
Yeah.
And involve either a lack of member services action. So these are the reasons right here. The attempt must be documented and involve either a lack of member services coordinator action. That's one reason. The member services coordinator didn't do what they were supposed to do. This is what the member I'm going to be claiming. I don't know what they've been doing, but I asked them, to, you know, for this, and they didn't, never take an action?
Right.
Or a coordinating committee vote against the release. So the coordinating committee voted against releasing this member. So they bring it up at a pod meeting. That kind of seems counterproductive or counterintuitive. If the coordinating committee has the right to override the member services coordinator,
uh-huh.
It doesn't make sense that they would override themselves, as it says that the coordinating committee voted against the release. And I don't know why they would vote against the release if the person really wants to go. We would probably just say, hey, you can't leave until what, the end of your contract, like we already have it up there? Because contracts are through whatever the year that we said that they come on.
Right.
So, and they want to leave, you know, for no other reason. It's not a valid reason, but they want to get out. Then they are still what, according to our previous rules, they're still obligated to what, the end of the contract year?
Yeah, obligated to the end of the contract, yeah.
So, and I would think that's why, that's probably, maybe that's why they had, they were looking at the pod financial situation. And we took that out. I said, I didn't think we would need to use it where it would play. But that might be a reason for that. Discussion, y'all too quiet.
Well, they can only, our policy says how you, why you can get your contract terminated.
Right.
It has nothing to do with an animal, you know, a dog. What if they had a fish and the fish died, they wanted to leave?
Yeah, I mean, I was making up something silly because it's just not covered.
Right.
But if they came with a, you know, that's why I said the board has to review the circumstances. We can't possibly think of everything.
Right.
So there may be an extenuating circumstance that would allow them to terminate that's not covered. And we'd be like, oh, we didn't think about that. But they have that situation. I can't think of anything off the top of my head. Outside of these, you know, the ones at the top that we've already discussed, and normal, you know, contract termination in other places, we've already covered this. So, I'm sure the board would want to consider. Because I'm sure the board, because at this termination, you're saying you're terminating their contract and their, what, financial obligation. In this situation right here, what I see the board actually having to consider is the circumstances under which they are asking for termination. And also, what is it going to do financially to the community or to that pod? So if we had more than one pod and this income had already been counted against expenses or whatever,
yeah.
And we didn't have, whether we wanted to hold them to their financial obligation. So let's say that this happened in June and the contract ends in December. And we've already counted those projected finances in the cash flow or whatever. Again, I'm making something up, but and trying to play both ends of the stick. So the member comes up and says, hey, I need to terminate the contract. Then the board can override the member services coordinator. And either say, I can't see them overriding if it's an approval unless the board wanted to vote against release.
Right.
So the member services coordinator is saying, hey, yeah, we'll terminate the contract. But then the rest of that won't make sense to me then. Because why would the member bring up a complaint that they want to terminate I need to think on this. As soon as we change something, the rest of the paragraph doesn't make sense. The rationale doesn't make sense. So give me a hot second. I'll be right back. Bells, I'll be right back. A whole lot of discussion going on. Man. All right, so I guess we're going to table this one for right now. So I make a motion that we table 11.14c.
Okay.
And we'll have to come back to it. Look at D. So I don't know. Yeah, 11. C doesn't make any sense to me.
Okay.
Yeah. Look at D. In situations where there is a conflict between a member and the pod regarding a contract termination, the coordinating committee will serve as a mediator to help the parties reach some agreement, either about fulfillment of the terms of the contract or about ending the contract. I think this should be the member services coordinator, act as the mediator, and then C would make sense. Because then C would make sense, and I think we probably move these around, make this. I think I'd want to move these two paragraphs so they'll flow better. I'm going to do this. just changing the order of these two paragraphs.
Okay.
That's all I'm doing. And then that actually flows better to me. If in situations where there's a conflict between the member and the pod regarding a contract termination, the coordinating committee, let's change this to the member services coordinator. Coordinator will serve as a mediator to help the parties reach some agreement, either about fulfilling the terms of the contract or about ending the contract. If then D, now see, that makes sense to me there. If the member services coordinator approves a contract termination agreement between YFCC and a member, and none of the above circumstances apply, the coordinating committee will look at the circumstances between the member and the pod, any conflicts or accusations of lack of contract fulfillment. The coordinating committee has the authority to waive member services coordinator approval. So the member services coordinator, in this case, they're acting as what, mediator? And they decide that they want to approve it, then the coordinating committee can waive the approval of voluntary contract termination only after an attempt by the member during a pod meeting to gain approval. The attempt must be documented and involve either a lack of member services coordinator action or coordinating committee votes against the release. Now that makes sense.
Yeah, it does sound good.
So yeah, that sounds better to me. What do you guys think?
It sounds a little better, make a little more sense.
Right.
Okay. What do you think, Sister Lorraine?
I think it makes
sense. And Sister Sarah. I mean Clara, I don't know why Sarah. Did you understand what we just were talking about?
No.
Okay. We're talking about contract termination. And last week there was like five reasons that we came up
that
with
came
a
up
contract
that
a can
contract
be terminated.
Go ahead.
You mean like when people didn't get along and they wanted, they were overstaying their welcome?
That could be it.
Or just they were overstaying their welcome.
That was your last week. Last week we were talking about if somebody came and they were visiting, or that type of thing. But we're talking about if you have a death of a close relative, you got to go back and take care of family matters, or there's a serious illness. You're seriously ill, or a close relative is ill, and you need to leave because you're going to be on long-term care from a medical facility or something.
Oh, wow, I see.
Or you got to run because you don't have anybody else to take care of them, so you're obligated to take care of them. Or if you were in the military, and so on. Yeah. So we have five circumstances.
Somebody comes up with something outside of those five reasons.
And so the member services coordinator. If it's an action between the pod and the member. Then the member services coordinator will mediate between the member and the pod, try to come to a resolution. And then If the member service coordinator.
A what?
If they want to approve the termination of the contract, then what I'm reading here is the coordinating committee has the authority to overrule that. And say they're not going to terminate the contract. But the member can then ask at a pod meeting that they still want the contract to be terminated. And override that decision. So this is what that paragraph is talking about.
All right.
So when everybody gets involved with this, we're not on a month-to-month basis. Everybody's making a commitment, and it's not month to month. So it's for a year at a time. And so there's financial obligations, budgeting, financial decisions being made upon. So many members being there, and that income being there. Right, yeah. So there are situations where you just can't walk out of the contract without fulfilling your financial obligations. Does that make sense to you?
Understood.
Okay.
So this is
saying for other than the reasons that were mentioned, somebody else brought up another reason, which would have to go to the coordinating committee to consider it. Any questions for anyone else?
No.
Make better sense moving paragraph C to D.
Which way?
Yeah. I'm gonna let y'all chew on that for a while. Because y'all way too quiet.
What the heck you talking about? Well, I'm right though now.
All right, amen.
No, I can't walk in two phones at the same time. But you sitting. Okay. I'm going to make a motion that we take
11-14
C&D.
Until we have to take off, because it makes more sense. It makes more sense. But I'm not altogether sure that we're sure what we're doing. So we'll table it for right now. Go on to section 11.15.
And I'm
going to mute your phone again. 11.15, spouse make non-writ contract termination problems. Okay, that don't even sound right to me from the start.
Right.
Spouse make non-writ contract termination problems. Let's just read and see what it says, okay?
Okay.
And see if it even makes sense for our community. If a member or members of a YFCC pod want the contract of a pod mate to be terminated. Okay, so now this is, these are what, the residents living within a pod?
Right.
Okay. If a member or members of a YFCC pod want the contract of a pod mate to be terminated for non-rent violation. Okay, this is not applicable.
Right.
Oh, wait a minute. Sorry about that. Non-writ violation. But we don't have, well, it sounds like it's going to be repeating what was said before.
Right.
So this is non-rent. We don't have rent anyway. But so this is going to be, they want to terminate this contract for some reason. They want this contract for somebody else to be what, terminated?
Right.
So I'm going to be the bad guy, all right? Y'all want to terminate my contract for non-rent violations, all right?
Oh.
That person, y'all, must provide evidence that such a breach of contract has occurred to the YFCC membership coordinator or the membership officer. Evidence may take the form of emails or other written communication, a written complaint specifying the non-rent violation and date of the occurrence, a pod work job log, or other forms as deemed appropriate by the membership coordinator. So with that being said right there, it sounds like I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, my duties around the what, pod? Maybe I was assigned to... around the pod, I was assigned to keep the grass cut. And I don't want to do it when it's supposed to be done. I'm not performing the work that has been assigned to me. And they have it documented in the what, work job log.
Right.
So it says, you know, Brother Miles is supposed to clean the glasses on the dome this week. And he didn't want to do that. And the last week he's supposed to cut the grass. He didn't want to do that. He's just not, what, doing what he's supposed to do?
Right.
Okay. And other forms as deemed appropriate by the membership coordinator. Before investigating the non-rent violation, the membership coordinator will explain the YFCC grievance procedures to the reporting pod mate. Provide them with the contract information of the current YFCC grievance committee and suggest filing a grievance as an alternative to serving a termination notice. Okay. The membership coordinator or membership officer must inform the coordinating committee and YFCC lawyer that a contract termination has been requested before beginning an investigation. Lawyer bit here, we will... I'm going to do this. All right, Sister Denise.
You just knew that was me.
I know it's you. All right. The membership coordinator, membership officer must inform the coordinating committee and the YFCC lawyer. And I don't think that we will be using an outside lawyer. Because those things are supposed to be, we're supposed to not take our troubles to where, to the world.
Right.
That a contract termination has been requested before beginning an investigation and may request the assistance of the coordinating committee, COCO. Okay. So I'm going to spell that out. I want to tell nobody they got to go see Coco. So let's take this hand YFCC lawyer out because that's not the way we operate.
Okay.
So the membership coordinator or the membership officer, in our case, that's one and the same person, must inform the coordinating committee that a contract termination has been requested before beginning an investigation and may request the assistance of the coordinating committee in conducting the investigation. The membership coordinator or membership officer or appropriate substitute as chosen by the coordinating committee shall investigate the complaint and review the evidence presented by the reporting pod mate. They will ask other involved pod mates about the alleged violation as appropriate, determine whether there is a reasonable chance that the complaint is valid, and secure any necessary documentation. They will inform the pod mate being reported of the complaint and request for termination and allow them 5 days to respond to the complaint. The length of this allowed response period may be altered by the membership officer to a total of no less than 48 hours, no more than 14 days. Okay. B, the membership coordinator will present their findings to the coordinating committee and make a recommendation as to whether a 5-day or 14-day is appropriate termination notice should be served. They may make their presentation at the next regularly scheduled coordinating committee meeting. Request an emergency. Come on, where's Miss Coco stuff? Okay. Okay, they will make their presentation at the next regularly scheduled coordinating committee meeting. Request an emergency coordinating committee meeting be scheduled, or in the event of an emergency, may present their findings over the coordinating committee email listserv. Okay. This last one, I'm going to have a on-site network, so we'll have on-site email. So we can leave that. That's just an email list. So we would have email lists that only went out to committee members. We'd have email lists that went out to all the members in the community. So, yeah, that's just an email list. They will also share their findings with YFCC lawyer. We're going to have to sign this right here.
The lawyer?
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking, too.
Yeah, we're going to have to assign that position to... it needs to be a third party within the community that their objective,
uh-huh.
So that they're not taking either side. They're just looking at the facts and saying, is there enough here?
Right. Okay.
So. Yeah, we will. I didn't take it out, the YFCC lawyer, out in the other paragraph, but we will have to look and see what position we would assign that to. So whether it's a whole separate position by itself or we'll have to figure that one out. The court, because, if it's you or I, if we are involved with it, we might think we have enough evidence.
Right.
So we can become prejudiced,
uh-huh.
And our view can become tainted because we are personally involved. So we really need to, that position will probably have to float between we'll have to look at that because they have to also be familiar with the bylaws and everything. So we'll leave it in here for right now, but we know that this is going to happen internally. So we have to have somebody that's going to fulfill that position.
Right.
The coordinating committee to ask if there's sufficient evidence to prove a violation of the contract has occurred. Coordinating committee may decide by a majority vote to direct membership coordinator to issue a termination notice. In the event that the pod mate reports an incident of domestic abuse or intimate partner violation between YFCC members, people messing around, the membership coordinator may, with the majority approval of the coordinating committee, issue a 5-day notice. They shall also inform the victim of her or his rights under the state Housing Act. We need to look at and see which one this is for Arizona. That's where it's going to be at.
This is for Wisconsin, right?
Right.
Wow.
Let me see if there is a Safe Housing Act for Arizona. Fair housing. That one, because this is fair housing, but didn't say anything about safe housing. Excuse me. Keep it moving. Thank you. We'll change this. But I'll see what Arizona statutes apply to this. If the pod may obtain a restraining order from a court, then YFCC is authorized to evict the person without a right to cure. Okay. So this is covering instances where you could have domestic violence within the community.
All right.
And if it's proven, then by state law, but also by our own laws, our policies, we would want to be able to handle this and tell the person they got to go.
Right.
You're no longer, if abuse is proven, then, we would tell the abuser that they're no longer welcome and that they have to vacate. And I don't think we would want to give them 5 days.
Oh, well, immediately.
Yeah, well, we got to look at, we also got to be, reasonable?
Yeah.
And I know you think immediately is reasonable. You got to go. Not today, but yesterday.
But right now.
I think that if we give them 5 days, this is what the law is requiring, or
right,
this is what it's saying in here right now. That we would have to move them out of that, either move them or whoever they're abusing out of their space.
Oh.
See what I'm saying? So, we would either move them out or move whoever is being abused out. And make sure that they didn't come in contact with that person.
Right.
So this is definitely something that we have to take some time on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this is where I can see this only, if the situation has become violent and the person doesn't feel safe.
Right.
Because, husband and wife, they can argue. That can come up anytime. They have disagreements, they argue. But if it's abuse and they are throwing blows, hey, you never know, the woman might be whipping his behind. We usually think of the man doing it. But I have seen women that can be very abusive. Hey, I'm in a meeting. Yeah. So, yeah, that could be
So who are they taking in the 5 days?
Well, the coordinating committee is saying 5 days is in paragraph C, 5 day notice. We don't have a jail. We don't have anything like that. So the main concern would be first protecting what the one that's being abused.
Yeah.
And that would be the main concern. And so we'd have to look at what do we have, what do we have available to us as far as securing that? So I would think, I mean, we can just talk this through. Got a husband, a wife, kid, and I'm just going to put it on the man. Let's say the man becomes violent, and he is, I'm not going to say in disciplining his kid. I'm going to say that he's becoming physically abusive, and the wife has come to us with a complaint. Got a black eye, this, that, and the other, okay? Because those are fine lines.
Yeah.
And, you know, Sister Mary might pull out an AR on somebody. I hope that wouldn't happen, but let's say that he is physically abusing her, you know, with a black eye, and she has complained that, you know, that she doesn't feel safe, then we really need to be able to address this and be able to take the appropriate action so that, you know, nobody is getting hurt, is getting nobody's feeling unsafe,
right?
That type of deal.
You said our accuser had a finer day.
No, not the accuser. The one that's being accused of doing it. The accuser is the one that's bringing the complaint.
Just being abused.
Oh.
Right, they would be being abused. Yeah, well, we have to have due process. What does that mean? The person can't just come and make the allegation and we just kick them out right away. Because,
I understand now. I'm thinking, you know, he was being abused. He was being abused.
Excuse me, because this is a working meeting, so I'm eating at the same time.
So you're saying we can't terminate the abuse? What do? Put him in time out?
No, 5 days. He got 5 days.
That's the time out.
Straighten up his stuff.
Yeah. I mean, if abuse is proven and it can be seen, I'm just saying, you know, when you live in a community, if somebody's acting up like that, sooner or later it's going to become public knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's hard for somebody that has a way to act normal day in and day out. That if that behavior's in them, it's going to come out. And I think if it is observed, then the person being abused doesn't even have to bring the charges. Whoever saw it can bring the charges that this is going on. At the same time, let's say that I bring an accusation that my wife is beating me. And I got a black eye, and I'm you know, putting myself, I'm going to play the devil's advocate. Me, then there has to be an investigation. Because what if you don't see a black eye?
Right.
You know, and if we leave it at just somebody, yeah, we're going to really have to think about this. Because as I said, husband and wife, they can get into arguments and things like that. Somebody knows the bylaws or whatever, knows the rules, they could bring a charge that is, what, unfounded?
Yeah.
Maybe they need to separate and so we need to deal with that as well. Maybe they need to separate and have a, what, cooling off period?
Yeah.
So it's not so bad that they want to break up,
right,
or that they don't need to be together, period.
Right. Okay.
And, you know, depending upon what it is and, you know, depending upon the layout of the different pods, you know, they might say, oh, hey, if it's a man, well, you know, I'm going to move out for until we can cool down so we go stay with somebody else within the pot. Now, if there's true domestic violence going on, then we really need to have a way to quickly, what, address that and to quickly resolve it.
Yeah.
So,
Brother Miles, I don't understand domestic violence because I don't understand why people want to try to control somebody like that.
Right, but you got men that feel like there's a word when it tells a woman to submit. I'm going to be honest with you. I know men that think like this. They feel like they got the authority to make her what? Submit?
Submit.
Okay, when the word don't really give them that authority, but that don't mean that they don't believe that. And then, I mean, all kinds of different situations. You got men that, if their woman looks sideways at a man, they may be so insecure that they think that she's doing something she's what, not supposed to.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different variables in this. So you have to get to what, facts. And because, okay, again, playing devil's advocate, their relationship may not be going well, and she may flirt with somebody. Now, what if that actually really happens? Y'all got quiet again.
And she flirt with somebody.
And what happened?
Huh?
What you said? She flirt with somebody and what?
She just flirted with him, but her husband saw it.
Oh.
Now, so.
You know, if she know her husband is abusive like that, then she shouldn't be flirting.
Flirting anyway if he ain't abusive.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, but you got, life is life, right? And people are people.
Yeah.
And so, I don't want to be so rigid that we are not accounting for life.
So the abuser would have to leave the community for 5 days, cool off? Is that what you're saying?
No.
I'm not necessarily saying they have to leave the community for 5 days. I'm saying that we might have to have they go stay with a friend somewhere else in another pod or whatever. They're just not physically staying together. That may be enough. It may not be enough. Why we need to take our time and what? Walk through this and come up with, you know, think about as many possible scenarios.
Yes.
so that, you know, if we're going to make a general ruling, a general rule, a general policy, if it's general, then we're going to have to give leeway to whatever investigating committee or whatever for them to take action. As I said, we can't just walk through this and say, oh, okay. We can say definitely if abuse has been proven, then this is definitely what's going to happen, okay?
Right.
My concern, I'm not really concerned about that because if they're abusing and the person doesn't feel safe, and that's it's a, you know, it's known, then they got to go.
Right.
Okay. So that's not concern. My concern is up until the point that it's proven, because somebody could bring an accusation that's what, unproven.
False.
Yeah. Not true.
Or it's not true. Just because they want, you know, they don't want to be with that person, or they want, you know, if that's the case, then they have to decide what they're going to do as what a relationship. Say, right off the bat, somebody brings this accusation and it's not proven. And we just say, somebody bring the accusation, you got to go.
Right.
Then somebody could bring an accusation against one of y'all, and the rules would say what? You had to go.
Yeah, right.
So we have to walk through this. And make sure we're taking the appropriate action, and we're taking the appropriate action at the right time. You know, I don't want to be in a situation where somebody says they're being abused, and then we say, oh, we got to prove it, and then next thing you know, they did. Because domestic violence is something else. So, I mean, we got to really consider this and how we're going to move on it. That's why I say, if it comes down to this, then we need to have a way or a place for whoever's been accused, especially in this event, domestic violence, that they have to, you know, vacate their premises, but we have someplace else for them to go within the community until it's actually proven that they, you know, this, you're guilty, so you got to go. You got to leave now.
Yeah.
Not reacting off a knee-jerk reaction.
I don't know. I'm not good on domestic violence.
Me either.
I think they need to talk to a psychiatrist also. Because if they come to the community and they're doing domestic violence, not the first time that this happened.
I agree. You know, we have to really consider this.
I'm talking about.
It's a very serious matter.
Yeah.
And I don't want to, again, I don't want to, everybody's supposed to be what, guilty and innocent until proven guilty?
Right.
So you don't want to make it where we make any knee-jerk reactions, but I don't want to make it to where we are trying to come up with the burden of the proof for so long that it allows them to do something worse than what they were doing.
Right.
If they
went to the lady or man, say they have been abused, our first reaction would be to try to get them somewhere safe.
Right.
They don't feel safe in what the, in their place.
Right. As I said, safety has to be first.
Right. And then best case.
Right. That's why I said safety has to be first.
Right.
Somebody to bring an accusation like that, most of the time, it's been going on for a minute and they never said nothing about it.
Right.
If somebody comes up and says that they feel threatened by their mate, then the concern is first making sure that that person is put in a position where they feel safe. And second is, you know, I don't want to, before things can be substantiated, said, you know, you got to terminate your contract. You got to go.
Right.
When if it's not a proven thing, you know, we haven't done our homework.
Right.
Now, you know, I know a lot of sisters, what they call it, Stockholm Syndrome. Where Stockholm Syndrome is where the person feels sorry for the attacker. And so, you know, I love my husband, and he didn't mean to hit me with that belt buckle.
Oh. Oh, that's Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah. Side of their abuse.
Yeah, because I had a sister like that.
Okay.
Her and her husband was fighting, actually. And I was there. And I jumped on him. He jumped on me.
Right. For jumping on him.
Yeah.
There are, see, these types of situations, because I've seen,
very touchy.
So just as you said, he was beating her, you jumped on him, she jumped on you.
Yeah.
And then so then you have no other choice but to stay out of it.
Yeah. And from then on, they stop arguing and fight, I leave.
Right.
Because apparently you like it.
Believe it or not, some people do like that.
I had another sister told me if a man don't beat her, he don't love her.
What do you do with that?
She's sick. I left her alone.
Right, but if you're in a community and that's their relationship, you're saying I wouldn't put up with that, but she don't. But in her mind, it's what? If he don't do it, he don't love me.
Right, right.
So.
Well,
what,
I think that's a good reason to get your contract terminated.
Yeah, they definitely have a what?
Mental problem.
Yeah, I'm going to say definitely what, dysfunctional?
Mm-hmm.
Very dysfunctional.
Yeah, if you know, that's why I said these types of situations we have to be really what careful about.
Uh-huh.
Now, if let's say that they are in a marriage like that, and they're in a marriage like that, and it becomes disruptive to the community.
Right. Then both of them have to go.
Yeah. Then well. Either way, they would both have to go because, and I say if it's becoming disruptive to the community and she says, hey, this behavior is acceptable to me out of him,
mm-hmm.
then now we got, are we interfering in somebody's marriage? Because that's the way they like their marriage. So we might say, well, hey, it's beyond what, outside the community policies or principles.
Right.
Because I have known women that like that. that has that same philosophy.
Yeah, I was trying to talk to one of my sisters, told me that her and her husband switched roles. Like, how do you do that?
So she beat him one time and he beat her the next?
No, they switched roles. Like, he's a man of the relationship and he's a woman.
And you got men that are like that, that are submissive and want the woman to be in charge. That's why I say these things are very what? Delicate?
Real. Yeah.
And you can't really tell somebody how their marriage is going to be.
Exactly.
So you can't really inject your or my
opinions
or standards on into their marriage.
Right, right.
That's true, too. But that should not be going on in the community because that's disruptive, Brother Miles.
I know.
That's true. So what do? Give them a warning or something?
If it becomes public knowledge.
Go on in the community?
Yeah, if it becomes public knowledge, then we have to deal with it from the standpoint of the scripture and from the standpoint that it's abnormal behavior. Normal for them.
Right.
So,
I think both of them need to talk to Dr. Feather.
Well, it needs to be counseled. But, you know, again, we are so jacked up as a people, as, you know, the world.
Yeah.
That it can get very, very touchy.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the sister Denise gave you a classic example. The two people were fighting, she jumped on her brother-in-law, whoever it was, and then her sister turned around and jumped on her. And yeah, it that's why I said we really have to think about this, and then whatever we decide, that's going to be the line. Everybody's got to what behave within that.
Right. Yeah.
But like I said, I've been counseling people for I don't know how many years. I've been in relationships before in the past where I'm like, you're kind of abnormal. Because
they
grew up a certain way.
Yeah.
I knew a young lady, I was in the military, and she worked with me. And I started doing business meetings. And so we had one at her house. And she decided to confide in me. And so she was telling me that she didn't feel right unless her husband raped her. Because that's the way she had grown up. Her father had raped her. And that's what turned her on. And natural affection didn't turn her on. And so her husband wouldn't do it. And she was putting on her blonde wig and her miniskirt and going out once a month or whatever, getting that fulfilled. I told her, I said, you need to go see a psychologist. Because, you know, but that was in her now. She wasn't going to be able to change what turned her on because that's what she was exposed to. And she learned to like it. So as I say, these things are, people bring the world into the kingdom with them. They'll bring the world into the community.
Ooh, all I can say is thank you for that's what I say every day. Thank you. Thank you.
And that's why I said I don't want to be too quick to move in any one direction, you know, just off of an accusation. Because, you know, we had situations even within this group before where a certain person was beating their wife. But then on the air, they, you know, my king this and my king that. And I never would have known until I knew. Other than that, they were projecting that, you know, this is a holy relationship.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Once the accusation is made, you know, I'm not going to be going listening at nobody's door. Or, you know, trying to get into their business. Because if they're doing anything that's unrighteous,
it'll show up
On its own.
Yeah. Well, and dark to come after the light from her light.
Right.
Yeah.
So, in this area right here, we really, you know, as I said, we need to be careful and what, take our time.
Yeah.
And you know, I've known too many people that try to manipulate situations. So, you know, she get mad, she accuse them of this. We take an action only to find out that what she was saying either was not true or she's suffering from some type of syndrome, and well, I was just mad at him at that time, and so I said this.
Right.
But we've already taken an action. So I think if anybody comes and it's already been proven that they suffered domestic violence in the system on the outside,
mm-hmm.
that their spouse can't never come. Why am I not talking? I am talking. You guys can hear me, right?
Yes, I can.
Let's see if they can hear anybody else.
I can hear them chip too.
That's not really a chip. That was a fish sound.
Okay.
This is a very tender subject.
It is.
And we have to know how we're going to respond.
Handle it, address it.
Right.
I guess you have to deal with it as a situation. Each situation, because each situation might be different.
Yeah, I think that from the standpoint of a pastor,
uh-huh.
I would have to sit down. Yeah, I would have to sit down with each one of them and get in their business.
Right.
Because that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm not trying to get in nobody's business, but if it comes up like that, then I have to get in their business. But I need to know what the motivation is, what's going on.
Right.
If they are doing stuff that they ought not do, then I would counsel them in that area. If it is, like I said, I know men that have been, that are just insecure, or they've been messed with by another man when they were younger, and so they don't really know. They're not sure of their own manhood, and so they try to be overbearing on women to try to prove their manhood. I've seen that, and, you know, when they talk to me and tell me certain things, I'm like, okay, then I know I need to look out for a certain behavior.
Right, okay.
Because, you know, a lot of men, I don't say a lot, but there are men out there, and I know a couple of them, that they had an experience with another man when they were younger.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're not sure, so they run around beating their wives and doing stuff like that. I'm like, dude, that's the reason why you're doing that. So you need to look within yourself, because You got some doubts about whether you're a man or not.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, the motivation and the reason behind some things. Sometimes they'll come all the way back from their youth.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't tell me as a grown man you had one of those experiences and you didn't know what you were doing. That doesn't work. You don't mess with gay stuff as a grown person unless you have that curiosity or send you.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the bottom line. I mean, that's where I'm at with it. But you have people who are abused as children. And they got exposed. And they bring that stuff into their adulthood. So sometimes I have to deal with that kind of stuff. And deal with it, you know, not in a way to tear the person down, but to try to help them heal.
Okay, right.
If they have a mindset where they are going to be, you know, if I find that they're being abusive because they're unsure of their masculinity, so, if, you know, they're going to prove it by, you know, I can beat this woman down, that doesn't work. And if we can't talk through it and get over it, then she says she doesn't feel safe around that person, and that's what it is. Because it don't take but a hot second to kill somebody.
Yeah.
You know, in the heat of the moment.
Anger.
Picked up a hammer and just bust her head
mm-hmm.
over. Or she did it to him.
Yep.
So that's the kind of stuff we need to, I think we're going to stop here for tonight. It's something that we all need to pray on, to collect our thoughts on it. And I'm going to go into the law, into the scriptures, and bring the scriptures forward on this. And we're going to always go with what the law.
Right. Yeah.
As a standard, because, you know, we can each have our own individual feelings and thoughts about it.
Right.
Like, I know Sister Mary's like, hey, I ain't got no tolerance for it at all. I don't understand it at all.
You know why I said that, Brother Miles? I had a girlfriend that get killed over domestic violence.
Right, and that's what I said.
And
I don't
tried to get her
help
to come out of that relationship, and she just wouldn't do it.
Right, and there, like I said, there's a lot of women, and I, like I said, I don't just do one side. There's a lot of men and women that are that way, okay? Because I have known women that were violent, and the man wasn't violent, but she was violent, and not that she was kicking his behind, but he wasn't really defending. You know, he was doing enough to defend himself.
Right.
But he wouldn't use his man's strength against her. So, you know, once people start picking up knives and stuff like that out of their anger, then, you know, it's a dangerous thing.
It is.
So we need to consider that as far as community. If these types of situations come up, if they cannot... You know, if they want, you know, again, from a pastor's standpoint, then my job would be to dig into it at a very personal level.
Right.
And see, you know, is there, you know, we know there's some emotional and maybe some, and I'm going to say mental, but emotional, because there could be some mental issues going on too. But there's definitely some emotional issues going on
mm-hmm.
From both sides. Because I would really have to find out truly what's going on. I need, you know, the facts of the situation. Maybe they both need counsel. You know, maybe it's him. Maybe it's her. And so we would probably, that's why I said we need to have a way to separate them.
Right.
Without necessarily kicking them out of the community.
Right. Yeah.
Until it can be determined that, you know, this is a real issue, and if it's a brother and he don't want to come up under control, then okay, we know what we need to do with you.
Right.
If it's a sister and she don't want to come under control, we know what we need to do with you. And then if y'all want to stay together and that's where you want to live, then you have to do it outside of here.
Right.
So that's why I didn't want to just say, okay, we're going to react one way or the other based upon, I don't want to act off of my personal feelings. I'm going to put it that way.
Okay.
Because my personal opinion in this thing would be, if you're a man and you got to beat a woman, there's something wrong with what you're proving.
Right.
You know, technically speaking, I don't think there's any woman out there that could beat my behind or used to beat. Now, I'm older now. There might be some women out there that I've met some strong women. But I technically don't think that it's a fair fight. And so I don't see how any man would want to beat a woman. You can't talk to her
right.
and straighten it out. But then you got some people that just won't be talked to. And as you said, you have known women that say, hey, if their man ain't beating them, he don't love them.
Right.
So, you know, all those things have to be.
I thought that sister was crazy. I left her alone.
Yeah, she ain't the only one out there like that. And where they get that from, I don't know if it's a childhood thing.
It ain't. That's my sister. We were born in the same house. How? I
don't know.
That's what I'm thinking. I didn't understand it. We were raised in the same house. Thing and
did you ever ask her where she got that from?
I left her alone. I told her. Because I said something wrong with this person. And I left her alone.
Maybe she just liked physical pain. Maybe she liked the breaking up and the what, getting back together?
I don't know. I just left her alone. I left her alone. Because in my mind, I was saying, something ain't right up there. But you thinking like that. So something ain't right. And so I got to stay away from around you. That's my thought.
I hear you. My thing would be, why?
I ain't even asked that question. I'm like, I don't want to be around you. I want you to stay away from me, and I'm going to stay away from you.
I hear you.
Because I was like 14, 15 when she told me that.
Oh, so she's been that way for a minute.
Yeah.
You know, and it could be psychologically. There's definitely a psychological issue going on there.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be that in her mind and her values that if her man ain't strong enough, then she'll walk over him or something.
Mm.
I mean, because, yeah, I like I said, I've been around a minute, and I've talked to a lot of women. Because there was a time I could just talk to them and say, who was it? But what you talking about? I said, who was it that messed with you?
Right.
And they would, you know, how'd you know? I said, because I talked to a lot of people just talking, and people have always felt like they could confide in me. And I'm the type of person, I want to know the root of an issue.
Right.
There's a lot of things, you know, people can complain about the symptoms of something, but what is the root cause? Why are you really
right.
doing this?
Right, right.
So I would talk to them and find out that, whether somebody messed with them, and like I told the girl that she just wanted to be raped. That's what she felt. That's what turned her on.
Mm-hmm.
And then those that, you know, if the man ain't strong enough for them, then they're going to walk over him.
I think that's me.
That's you?
I think that is.
Well, that's good to know.
I'm looking for a man. I want a man to be a man.
Right, but see, what's your, see that then that starts getting into what's the definition of a what?
A
A good man?
Yeah, a definition of a man. Because you got a certain definition that you apply to that.
Yeah.
Okay. And that may not be the same conditions or standards that another woman applies to it. So that is the issue. That's why, you know, the woman that wants to be in charge, she might feel that, you know, she don't want a strong man. She want a man that's going to what? Submit to her?
Right, right.
And her will, and she, you know, she's going to make the decisions and all that. But then to you, you would look at her relationship and say, your man is weak.
Yeah.
But maybe he don't want to be in that position. He want her to be in charge. And so that's why I said it in injecting our own standards into a situation, then we could really be overstepping our own bounds because we're putting our own personal feelings into it, our own personal preferences. When, you know, what's right for you may not be right for somebody else.
Right.
And what's a real man to you may not be a real man to somebody else. Maybe that woman that wants to be in charge, maybe she got abused. And she said, I ain't gonna never let no man be in charge of me.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I know women that were taught by their mothers, never depend on a man.
Oh.
You know, always, you know, make sure you got your own. Make sure you can take care of yourself. Then they don't have the room in their life to actually let a man be a man.
Right.
So there's all these things, and before I make a decision, I have to find out where she's coming from and where he's coming from.
Right.
What is the relation based upon before I can even say, you know, because there are people who are just perverted. They're corrupted. They are, you know, they don't have a sense of, what I'm going to say, and I can't really say normal because normal is subjective.
Values?
Yeah, they're values. But, you know, again, if we go by a godly value, then that's the standard we have to go by.
Right.
Okay, and it can't be anything other than that because... People, like I said, people get introduced to things in life. Everybody don't grow up the same way.
Yeah.
Everybody don't, they don't even have the same likes. And some people, some of these likes was in them from the beginning. Nobody had to teach it to them. It was just in them. So it's just their nature. So, you know, in dealing, you know, I have found in dealing with people that I have to dig like that.
Oh, okay.
That is, you know, and a lot of people don't want to open up that way. Pray for me. What am I praying for?
Right.
Because I'm not going to pray against the will of the Most High. And if you got this in you and you don't want to deal with it, then I'm not, you know, I'll pray that you know, that you get better. But I just know that there's a lot of people that have, they've been through some things and actually what I've learned is that the first thing that people are exposed to in a sexual nature, that's how they get turned on. That's what they learned. And then they say, well, how are you going to tell me what turns me on is wrong? Well, if it's against the Bible, it's wrong.
Right.
If it ain't spoken on or if it's borderline, then I ain't going to tell you nothing. You do you.
Right.
You know, but the Bible specifically mentions, hey, don't let a man or a woman shouldn't lay down with a beast.
A beast, right.
An animal, and that a man shouldn't lay with another man as he lays with a woman.
Right.
And that will go for the woman, vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it don't actually say that. But that's the spirit and the intent of it.
Right.
So if it comes down to that, then yeah, I can say that's not allowed. And you can't bring that behavior here.
Right.
Now, if they turn on by toes and we're doing a foot washing and they got turned on by some toes, I mean, what am I going to do about that?
Right.
I'm just being real.
Yeah, I know. I understand.
Yeah, because I had this conversation with a pastor just yesterday morning. And he called me about doing feet washing, and, you know, he prefers that the women wash the women's feet and the men wash the men's feet. I said, and why? He says, because some people might get turned on by that. I said, if they get turned on by that, then they got some other issues going on anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I said, me as a pastor, I'm not going to be looking at nobody's horns and getting turned on.
I know that's right.
On nobody's
horns. I don't want to look at my own.
Right. Amen. And even if they don't have no corns, that's just, you know, it's got to be in you.
Right. Okay.
It's got to be in you. So you got all, that's why I said, you got all kind of things that turn people on that may not be specifically spoken of, but it all ends up leading to the same thing.
Lust.
Yes. So I'm very careful in that area. Because I personally don't get into it, I can't put that on somebody else if it's not spoken of. So this is, like I said, it's a very tender subject, and it takes a lot of finessing, you know, and you can't really be judgmental. Except for where it's clearly, oh, you like animals? Uh-uh. You like the same sex? Uh-uh. Those things are specifically spoken on in the scripture. And I can, you know, and I can, then I have to look at what the intent of the law without interjecting my own feelings into it. And that's where it, you know, can become hard. You like that? You know. But then again, what I like, somebody might look at it and say, you like that?
Right.
So you got to be very careful in these things. But we were talking about abuse, and that's a whole other subject. So again, you know, after I do the investigation and the woman say, well, if he don't beat me, you know, he ain't no strong man. He can't have me. Again, then I got to say, what do we do with this? We say it's abnormal behavior. You know, you got to keep that in your own house, in your own room or whatever. Because what I'm concerned about, what are they teaching the kids? Because the kids going to see it and hear it.
Yeah.
So that same spirit, and that woman is going to pass that same thing on to who?
Her children,
her daughter, especially. So those things are very big concerns. So you know, this is an area I definitely am going to have to pray over, because I'm not just seeing them at church or meeting them online. We're living in the same community.
Right.
And a close community.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be hard for people not to know each other's business.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in little towns, everybody be knowing what? Everybody's business?
Everybody, yeah.
So I just ask that y'all pray on this, that you consider it, that and you consider what's righteous and what's written, okay?
Okay.
If you find it written, then it's personal opinion.
Okay.
Okay? And that's what one thing that we have to stay out of. Because, you know, people got different definitions for different things. And we already know. Sister Denise said if the man ain't strong, she don't want him. She want a man. You know, and then, but as I said, what that then that's going to come down to what is your definition of a man?
Of a man. Strong man.
Right. Because that's what's going to be what you're looking for in those traits and attributes. Whereas Sister Mary might have a different what? Definition?
Mm-hmm.
Or Sister Lorraine or Sister Clara or anybody else that's listening.
Right. Right.
And so then it becomes about, you know, we got to have a what, minimum standard?
Mm-hmm.
And then everything else becomes personal after that. So, and the one thing you can't do, any of us can do, is inject our personal likes or dislikes on somebody else. You know, I've known brothers and sisters that say, hey, if you ain't got a beard, you ain't a Hebrew Israelite. But what if you don't grow a beard? So let me ask this question this way. Was Jacob a hairy man?
No.
But Esau was, right?
Yeah, right.
But they were both Israelites. They were both Hebrews.
And twins.
And twins. So how's somebody going to come up with a standard if you ain't got a beard, you ain't a Hebrew Israelite?
Yeah, right.
I mean, that's personal what?
Opinion.
Opinion. So we got to stay away from stuff like that. What I do know the scriptures teach on, trust me, we will enforce it. If it is not spoken on or the spirit of it, the intent of it, is not spoken of, we know what things are perverted and what things aren't. What, you know, we know what things are normal within reason. And then we know what things, you know, hey, don't nobody, you know, what are you talking about? So that's why I said we got to be very careful with this. And I'm going to stop beating this horse to death. So read through these paragraphs. See, you know, we're in paragraph, we're in section 1115. We already know if abuse is proven, then whoever's doing the abusing, they got to go. That's a given.
Right.
And if they're so violent they can't be reasoned with, they got to go. Because, you know, somebody, you know, and again, we got to be make sure that we aren't really stepping on somebody's toes or stepping into the relationship to the point that we got no business stepping into it. So it's got, you know, we got to make sure that it's godly. But we can't make something a sin that the scripture doesn't make a sin. And that's very easy to do. So does the script, I got to find these verses. Are there some things that you may consider to be sin that the scriptures don't make sin, but it's sin for you? Do I need to repeat that question?
Yes, please.
Are there some things that you consider to be sin that the scriptures don't say is sin, but because you think it's sin to you?
Yeah.
But it may not be a sin for somebody else.
Right.
Okay. So we got to always keep, those things, you know. Because if a woman believes that it's a sin to wear a red dress, but do the scripture say it's a sin to wear a red dress?
Oh, no.
So who is it a sin to?
To her.
That person.
To her.
That thinks that.
But it won't be a sin to you. But they can't really, what, inject that onto you?
Right.
That's a sin for you, sister, because you believe it's wrong. So it's sin for you. And we got to always keep those things, as I said, we got to stay within those contexts. That's why I will only teach what's written. I try to stay away from personal opinion. Period. Because I can't enforce that. But I can enforce what's written. So let us bow our heads. I make a motion that we table 11.15, the whole thing, until next meeting we pick it up. And let me make a ruling here. We just read the entire thing next time and see what everything says.
Right.
And then come back and start addressing those specific areas. But I do want you to think about, and from the standpoint of the woman, because a man and a woman are going to have different perspectives on some of these things.
Yeah.
Okay, and so I want the female view. I will bring the man's view as far as my view is on it. Can't speak to no other man. And we're going to look at what the scriptures say. And we're going to go with what the scriptures say. That way, I keep my personal opinion out of it and you keep yours out of it.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Okay. And whatever the scriptures say on it, if the scripture is silent on it, but we can see in a law the spirit of that law, and that, so whatever it is to fall into that under the spirit of that law, then that's the law we're going to use. If it's like tonight and we just can't, you know, we can't decide one way or the other, then you know what? We're not going to come up with an opinion on that. Because it'll be just that opinion. Personal opinion at that. And I don't care if you come up with an opinion as long as it's, what, scripture-based?
Right.
That's okay. When it's personal, then that's a whole other issue. That's the only way that we can really go about this. But we do agree, safety first. So if somebody brings that accusation that they are being abused, then we want to make sure that the environment is made safe first. So whether a sister comes and says, you know what, my husband is beating me and I really fear for my life, then we want to say, okay, then we're going to need to move him or you out of the environment, separate y'all. And we're really going to have somebody that's actually enforcing because, you know, if we're in the same, still in the same community, in the same environment, what's to stop that person from rushing that person and just putting a hurt on them?
Right.
So, I'm going to say we err on the side of extreme safety first. And then dig into the matter and then go from there. That'll be the way, you know, we got to make sure that we keep the person safe. And, if the people come up and they're wishy-washy, you know, she brought this accusation and then you take an action against them. Well, I didn't really want y'all to take that kind of action, and why'd you bring it up? So, you know, we need to, I just want y'all to be mindful and think of what could possibly happen because we have to deal with it. And as far as actions go, then we're gonna always fall. Let the scriptures be our guide. Point blank. But understand that we didn't all grow up the same way. We don't all like chocolate ice cream. And as long as, you know, the scriptures don't say that it's a perversion, then we can't make it a perversion. Because you tell somebody they like toes, and it might be perverse to you, but it's not perverse to them. And there's not, the scripture is not what? Saying anything about it?
Right.
So, you know, we can have our personal opinions, but then we don't want to overstep that unless we do it. Now, we can lump everything up under that. Then that means that we could be saying we're not putting up with a lot of stuff. but the scriptures may not speak on it. That's why we have to find mates that are what? We're equally yoked with. Unless the scriptures say something about it, then, you know, y'all do you. I'm trying to stay out of it. So keep that in mind. We'll probably be in this area for a minute. Because, you know, going through this and really trying to we have to put our own court system in place. Whether it's with the elders or however we do it, okay? So keep those things in mind. Everything that the world is doing is not, what, bad? Matter of fact, the world got a lot of its standards, even the court system and those rules, most of that from the Most High. So we can implement the same thing, but he said with an elder and a what, priest? And that whatever they come up with, that's what you're going to follow. And if you don't want to abide by their ruling, then he said, you know, today we would just kick them out because the decision was made.
Right.
We're not going to be telling nobody because the scripture would say, hey, they're supposed to die. So we won't do that, but they have to go. Without question. All right, with that being said, I make a motion that we adjourn this meeting for this session. Do I have a second?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
The ayes have it. We will pick it up in 11.15 next week. You guys should have a copy of this, if I'm not mistaken. Read it over. Come prepared, you know, with your feelings on it, your understanding, and then, you know, we will vote as a group how we're going to handle these. Amen? And I think I will actually pull all the scriptures concerning these things, and maybe we won't discuss this. I'll go through here and see what all they're addressing, and if I find something that they're not addressing that's addressed in the scriptures, then I will add it in, but I'll try to address everything that's in this document or this paragraph or subsection by the scriptures and do a lesson on it, a precept on it, so we'll know what the guidelines are, and then we will discuss each one of these individually. And if we need to add something, we'll add it. If something doesn't apply, then we will take it out, as we have been doing. With that being said, may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. But I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Hear Yah and keep his commandments, saints. Shalom. See you next Thursday. Credit.
Always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. times. All I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptize, get dumped. I feel with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time, push a bus. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpacha, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You're always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yeah, who are you?
Everyone.
Shalom, everyone. Peace and blessings. See you guys for tomorrow, Sabbath. Shalom, Miss Hazel. You still up?
Yeah.
All right. Peace and blessings.
I didn't get all of it, but I got it in part of it.
Yeah, we're discussing bylaws and community and that kind of stuff, and trying to we just come into the part of the bylaws where it's talking about, you know, spouse abuse and all that, and how to handle it.
Yeah,
you know, without interjecting too much of our own personal selves into it. Because people are people. And so I don't like getting into people's relationships except for where it is written. Other than that, you know, I'm trying to stay out of it.
Right.
So that's, you know, that's what we were talking about tonight, and that's where we're at. I'm trying to make sure that people aren't interjecting their own personal opinions. Because we could all be different in different ways, and then there is what God says. So we're just trying to make sure that we stay godly in this thing and don't interject too much our own personal opinions. But that's what we've been working on this document for about a year.
That's good.
And are you doing all right?
I've got a feeling tough today.
You did what?
I'm feeling kind of bad today.
Okay. I know it can be different on different days, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that our bodies start breaking down. Have some good days and we have some bad ones.
Right.
Amen. All right. Well, I know it's late for you, so I won't keep you up.
All right.
All right, have a blessed day. Bless the rest of your evening.
Thank you.